finishing up, or we finished up verse 19 in this chapter, and we saw that Naaman was beginning his journey back home. He had received his miracle. He had gone back and tried to express his gratitude to Elisha for what he had done. He'd offered to give him a blessing. You see that in verse number 15. And if you remember, Elisha refused to take anything from him. He just simply would not do it. And so Naaman starts on his way back home. And that's where we pick up in verse number 20. It says, but Gehazi. Now, do y'all remember who this is? It tells you right here in the verse, he's the servant of Elisha, the man of God. And we've seen his name mentioned already a few times. And he was just a fellow that was there serving Elisha, ministering to him. Just like Elisha had ministered to Elijah, as the Bible says, this fellow was a servant of Elisha. He ministered to him. And it says here that he said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now, he's been here while all this stuff has been going on. He's heard the conversations, seen the miracle. And he heard whenever Naaman offered to give Elisha a blessing. He heard that, and no doubt he saw the different things that he had brought to offer as a gift. And he heard when Elisha said that he wasn't going to take it. Well, he's obviously been thinking about this. Ever since he saw the stuff and ever since it was offered and turned down, he's been thinking about it because he says, look, you know, my master didn't take any of it, but this is what I'm going to do. I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Notice he doesn't go and talk to Elisha about any of it. He just slips away and does this is what he does. It's just here a rule of thumb, okay? If you got to slip around and do something, there is about a 99.9% probability you ain't got no business doing it. If you are doing something and you're afraid for the preacher to see you doing it, you probably don't need to be doing it. Now, obviously, the Lord knows everything we're doing, and he's the one that we ought to be the most concerned about, okay? But I'm just saying as a rule of thumb, if you don't want your husband to find out, there's probably something wrong with it. If you don't want your wife to know about it, then you're doing something you ain't got no business doing. If you got to hide it or stick it under something so nobody will find out about it, then you probably done something you didn't need to do. If you can't just be open and you know, just be out there and not be afraid or ashamed for anybody to find out about it, that's a pretty good sign that there's something wrong with it. The very fact that he didn't go back and say anything to Elisha about it, that shows that he knew he ought not be doing this and that Elisha would not approve of it. But he doesn't say anything. He just decides, this is what I'm going to do. So he's had this on his mind. That stuff caught his attention. Gehazi obviously was a man who had at least, you'd have to say, a slight problem with covetousness because he's seen that stuff. And he heard Elisha say, no, I'm not going to take any of it, but he wants it. Or at least he wants some of it. He's not contented with what he has. He wants what these people have brought and offered. So he's got a little bit of a problem with covetousness. And he just decides that he's going to go get him some of it. So he takes off. Verse 21, so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? I guess maybe he thought something might have been wrong. You know, he sees Gehazi boogieing down the road there, and he hops down off of his chariot, and he says, is everything all right? Is there a problem? Anything wrong? In verse 22, he said, all is well. Everything's fine. Ain't nothing wrong. We good. Yeah, and that's the next thing. He says, my master hath sent me. Was that the truth? No. Elisha had done said he didn't want any of it and wasn't going to take any of it. And then Gehazi says, my master has sent me. He didn't even talk to his master about this. That's another pretty good rule of thumb there. If you got to lie about something, you don't have no business doing that. I mean, really, if you got to tell lies to do something, God ain't in that. I mean, would God say, thou shalt not lie, and then be in you telling lies to do something? That doesn't make any sense at all. So he tells a lie, saying, my master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me. He just makes up a story. You say, would people actually just make up something? Yeah, you better believe it. Yeah. They'll just make up stuff about you that they know's not the truth. I mean, it's a complete fabrication from the first word to the last, a complete fabrication. Just make up a story, know that it's a story, know that it's not the truth, but tell it as if it is the truth, expecting you to believe what they're saying. They will flat sure do it, I guarantee it. And that's what he does. He just makes up this little story here. He says, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. That's just a lie. It's just something he's made up. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. There's two young men come, so he says, give a talent of silver. I'm assuming here he means give each one of them a talent of silver. And he says, in two changes of garments. That's either give each one a talent and each one a change, or each one a talent and each one two changes. I'm not exactly sure how that thing reads, but one way or the other, he's asking for some silver and he's asking for some clothes for these two sons of the prophets that showed up. And he's speaking on behalf of his master. See, he says, my master hath sent me saying. In other words, he's telling Naaman, this is what my master said. So now he's told a lie to get something for himself, and he's included somebody else in his lie, right? He said, this is what my master said. So he's drugged somebody else into it. It's bad enough when you do something wrong and it just affects you, but the vast majority of the time, it doesn't just affect you. And it's pitiful when you start dragging other people in to your sin, to what you know is wrong. And that's exactly what he does here. He drags Elisha into this thing. It can reflect badly on him. But he says, verse 23, and Naaman said, be content, take two talents. Now, if you look back at verse 5 in this same chapter, it says, and he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver. This is why he asked for what he did, because he knew this is the stuff that he had with him. He took with him 10 talents of silver, so he asked for 2. It says, and 6,000 pieces of gold. It's interesting, he didn't ask for any of the gold. But then 10 changes of raiment. So he wants a couple of the talents of silver. He wants a couple of changes of clothes. That's what he wants. And Naaman agrees to do that. Naaman, I guess, believe what he said. When somebody tells you something, and as far as you know, they're an honest person, what do you usually do? You believe what they say, right? I mean, I don't guess Naaman had any cause whatsoever to believe that Gehazi was a liar or anything. I mean, he's Elisha's servant. He's there with the man of God, and Naaman has seen enough to know that Elisha's the real deal. He's a real man of God. He's a prophet. So certainly his servant wouldn't just be a liar, just make up things, just make up stories, complete falsehood. Surely he wouldn't do that. People will surprise you sometimes, won't they? Those people that you just, how many times have you heard something that somebody did and it was actually the truth? It wasn't just hearsay, but they did it and you said, man, I can't believe that. You ever done that before? I can't believe that. You know, it just shocks you because there's people, you know, you've been around them, you talk to them and so forth, and you just don't get the impression that they're that type of person or they would do something like that. You just don't get that, and then when you hear it, it's kind of a shock to you. He didn't have any reason to believe that Gehazi was a liar and would just fabricate a story because he was covetous. He didn't, so he agrees to give it to him. Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, I believe Naaman's servants, and they bear them before him, before Gehazi. So he gives him what he wants, and he has a couple of his servants take it back for him. And they start heading back to the house. He got what he came after. He got exactly what he asked for. And at this point, it seems like everything's all right, doesn't it? Seems like he's gotten by with his lie. Just told a big bald-faced lie, and he got away with it, did he? Did he get away with it? I don't really reckon you ever get away with sin. Think you do. But you don't. And there's always a payday someday. Always a payday somewhere down the road. And that's the thing, you know, people do stuff, well, I got away with that. No, you didn't. You didn't. Even if by some chance you snookered everybody, you didn't snooker God, okay? You snookered him. So, but anyways, verse 24, and when he came to the tower, which is likely the tower there in the wall of the city, people would get up in that tower. They had watchmen. The Bible talks about watchmen. People would get up in the tower and look. They were to make sure that nobody was coming to attack them or whatever the case. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And that house is probably Elisha's house. We saw back in verse 9, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha's got a house he lives in. Gehazi's his servant. He's probably staying there with him in the house. So he comes back, and I don't know, I'm assuming he might have had his own room or something like that, but he had some private place where he bestowed them. He slips back in, and he hides it somewhere. And he let the men go, and they departed. Everything's still cool, right? It's all good. He just got what he wanted, told a lie to do it, had to sneak around behind his master's back to do it. He got what he wanted. He got it, and nobody found out anything. He's going to be able to enjoy those new duds he's got, you know, 2 changes of garments. Got some nice clothes. And look, I guarantee you they were nice clothes. Because I don't believe for 1 second that king of Syria would have sent 10 changes of raiment down there to be a gift, and they were something you get at the Goodwill store. Not that I have a problem. Most of my wardrobe came from the Goodwill store, okay? But you understand what I'm saying. He sent nice clothes down there. And Gehazi's eyeballing that. Boy, I'd look good in that right there. I like that suit there. I'm gonna see if I can't get that one right there. And anyway, he gets it. He's got it. He's going to enjoy. The thing about that that's so strange to me is he gets these clothes. I guess maybe he thought he would wear those on his day off when he wasn't around Elisha or something, you know? You know what I'm saying? Because surely had he worn them in the presence of Elisha, he would have said, where'd you get them at? Them some new clothes you got there, ain't it? He might have even remembered seeing them when they were offered as a gift to him, maybe. But anyway, see, when people are greedy or when they're just lustful and desirous and craving things and want something, they begin to lose their sense of reasoning. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. They begin to slip around and sneak around and tell lies and do things and hide things, and they begin to do stuff that's just beyond reason. And think in their mind that nobody's ever going to recognize this. Nobody's ever going to find out what's going on. But I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says. Be sure your sin will find you out. And this day and time now that we live in, where everybody in the world's got a cell phone with a camera on it, you really think you're going to get away with it? Really? No. But he, you know, he's got it hid out. Everything's good. Verse 25. But he went in and stood before his master. He didn't put them duds on, did he? You know what that further shows? That he knew he had done what he wasn't supposed to do. If it had been all right, he'd have went right to the house, took him a shower and cleaned himself up, put on his new clothes, and went in there and said, "Hey, Elisha, look what I got. Give me some nice clothes here, don't I? Pretty clothes." No, sir. He knows that he's doing wrong. He knows it. He's hiding it out. But he went in and stood before his master. He just goes back in just like nothing happened. Nothing wrong. The Bible talks in Proverbs about that adulterous woman. You know what it says about her? It says she eats and drinks and wipes her mouth. And says, "I have done no wrong." She goes out and commits adultery, and you know, she just goes back, sits down, and eats her meal and drinks. No big deal. I ain't done nothing wrong, you know. He's just carrying on like nothing ever happened. I didn't do anything wrong. And he said unto, look at verse 25, and Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi? Where'd you come from? Where you been?" Here it is. And he said, "Thy servant went no whither. You know what that is? That's lie number three is what that is. Because the first one was, "My master hath sent me." That's lie number one. Number two was, "Behold, even now there be company," his little story he makes up. That's lie number two. Lie number three is he just looks Elisha, his master, God's man, right in the face and says to him, "I didn't go anywhere." He lied. Would people just look the preacher right in the face and tell a lie? You better believe they will. Do it in church. Look you right in the face in church and just lie to you. Tell you a bald-faced lie. And then they'll just go on with their life like, "Ain't done nothing wrong." God knows the truth. God knows the truth. I didn't go anywhere. Why don't he step up? Why don't he say, "Yeah, I did. I tell you where I went." Oh, what a tangled web we weave when at first we practice to deceive. And here's this thing about telling a lie. When you tell a lie, unless you confess and say, "I have told a lie," you will always have to tell another lie.
Yeah, that's right.
The only way to avoid telling that second lie and that third lie and that fourth lie is when you tell that first lie, to say to the person or the people you lied to, "I told a lie and I was wrong for doing that." If you do, you can stop it right there. It doesn't have to go any further. If you're just man up, woman up, whatever, and just say, "I told a lie. I just lied to you because I was greedy, because I wanted to accomplish my purpose. I just lied to you." If you just step up and just say, "I told a lie," it can stop right there. But if you don't do that, you will tell another lie. And then you'll tell another lie. And you'll keep on and keep on, just like he did. Verse 26, and he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" How did Elisha know what he did? Well, it doesn't tell you in the text how he knew. But you just have to believe the Lord revealed it to him. God revealed his secrets to the prophets, the Bible said. He revealed to his prophet what his servant had done. Can't you just kind of see Gehazi's mouth fall open when he says that, you know, when he knows he's caught? He says, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" He says, "Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Is it a time to be greedy for all that stuff and be going after all these things? Can't you just be content with what you have?" The implied answer is no, it's not a time. It wasn't a time for him to be greedy and trying to get all that stuff for himself or to get anything for that matter. He just needed to be content with such things as he had. He had seen Elisha as an example of contentment. Elisha could have took, and here's the thing about this now. All of that stuff there in verse number 5, the 10 talents of silver, the 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 chains of ring, as far as I can tell, Elisha could have got every bit of that. Not just 2 talents and 2 changes of garments. The way I understand, the fellow brought that down there to give as a gift. Elisha could have got every bit of it, but he didn't take any of it. He was satisfied with the way it was, just contented. But his servant obviously has a problem with covetousness and greed. And here's how it works out, verse 27. Boy, howdy. Don't you know that he wished he'd have never ran old Naaman down? That Bible says, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. Boy, his mess that he made here didn't just hurt him, did it? It says, unto thee and unto thy seed. That's his offspring there. And that just goes back to what we was talking about a while ago, you know. You do wrong, it doesn't just affect you, it affects other people as well. Shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Did he get away with it? No, he didn't get away with it. He didn't get away with it. As far as I can tell, he lived the rest of his life in leprosy. His seed after him obviously were lepers. That thing was just in their family from then on. All for 2 talents of silver and 2 changes of raiment. He gets to be a leper the rest of his life. Whatever it is that you do, that you just think you got to do in your lust and your greed and your covetousness, whatever, you just got to have it, got to do it. I can promise you that if you do get it and you get the opportunity to enjoy it for whatever amount of time it is, the fallout will never be worth the enjoyment and the pleasure that you experience. Never will be. Any question about what we looked at?